The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you today, this week, and as we go about our lives always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Legend has it that theologian and church reformer Martin Luther is said to have said, "Work, work, from morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Theologically sound, but almost laughable when we consider how busy we are by real work and by today's distractions. Where would we find the time to fit in 3 hours of prayer, let alone make it our first priority? Yet that is what Jesus is explaining to Martha, who is busy doing things to serve her house guest, Jesus, who has come near to Mary and Martha and visited them in their home, breaking the Jewish rule, which did not allow men to visit the house of a woman. Martha is doing as Abraham asked his wife Sarah to do in our first reading in Genesis, hastily doing the tasks of the law of hospitality to serve our Lord, who appears as what some scholars say is the Trinity in Abraham and Sarah's story, as they visit him in the heat of the day during his time of rest. Perhaps in Abraham's moment of stillness, he is ready to receive and hear the good news our God brings, that his wife of wiser age will bear a son. Notice it is Abraham who is still and receives good news, while Sarah is busy with preparations to serve the unexpected guests. Martha, like Sarah, is obeying the laws of hospitality, frantically trying to offer a perfect buffet in a clean home with no help from her sister Mary. Throwing her hands up in despair and understandably frustrated, she addresses her complaint to Jesus, who hears her. "Lord, don't you care that I am slaving away to serve and make you happy while my sister is doing nothing to help me? If so, tell her to help me." Many of those 20% of our church who do 80% of the work have a similar cry. Parents with more than one child know the familiar cry, "But brother or sister aren't doing their share," in the tone of a kid who knows injustice when he or she hears it, in hopes that the parent will bring justice to the situation. Jesus, who proclaims God's justice and peace in the Gospel of Luke and other Gospels, hears Mary, but his response is quite unexpected to her. She knows he cares about her, or else he would not have drawn near to her. Jesus also hears Martha. Martha is expecting Mary will get off her duff and get to work with her, yet that's not what happens. Instead, Jesus affirms Mary's choice of being still to listen and learn from him. In saying Mary chose the better part, Jesus does not seek to cause conflict between the sisters, nor does he imply that serving others and hospitality are not important, as other readings in Luke and the other Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus teaching his followers to serve others and offer hospitality to strangers as part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Instead, in this well-known story of Martha and Mary, often viewed as a story of lifting up women as also being disciples of Jesus, along with the many other male examples highlighted in the Gospels, Jesus is teaching Martha and all of us, regardless of gender, that the order of our tasks of being followers of Jesus is to first be still, like Mary, to sit and listen and learn from Jesus, to hear the good news that he brings, and receive the mission that he puts before us through his love and grace, so that we may be able and strengthened by his love and grace to carry out and give vision to our other vocations in life. Jesus made a point to say, what he gives us cannot be taken away when all else can be. When we focus on our first vocation as baptized, forgiven, beloved children of God, above all other vocations, we, like Mary, can be informed by that vocation. We can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Yet we tend to busy ourselves with the tasks and distractions in our lives rather than being still and sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn from him first, as Mary did. I think about how connected I feel and yet so disconnected from God or what God is calling me to do when I personally consider the time I spend on social media. Ask Mike. Yes, it is a distraction, which I long for to get a break from the day's challenging events as a spouse, a parent, a pastor, chaplain, neighbor. Yet when I get through my time on social media after the kids are asleep, what has it really helped me with? Have I really connected with those few close friends that I'm really close to yet live so far away? No, I get distracted by the many other things I see and scroll through. What is it that you insist you are too busy with to first sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from his love and grace? What happens when the stuff we busy ourselves with is taken away? What are we left with? If we fail to nurture our first vocation to just be beloved, forgiven children of God in Christ Jesus through baptism, and through that, love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, do we really have peace and hope in the midst of our trials, temptations, and tragedies in life? Browsing through a book on a shelf as I was cleaning out one room and sorting through the books, I came across Richard Carlson's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. And I came across his chapter that said, our inbox will not be empty when we pass. Nor will our laundry baskets, nor our dishwashers, nor our calendars, nor our social media accounts. How can we make time like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from his love and grace and be filled in confidence that we are justified by faith in his grace? And through that justification, Through that forgiveness of sin, we are sent out into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and deed, and how that can inform all our other vocations. I know it's a challenge, it's a struggle we all face. May we come boldly to the throne of grace, trusting in Jesus' love and grace through his sacrifice on the cross. May we receive his body and blood in the bread and the wine at Holy Communion and rest in his grace. And may we once again be renewed and sent and filled by the Holy Spirit to go out and love more like Jesus. So help us, God. Amen.